You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
One bright and guiding light that told me wrong from right I found in my mother's eyes. Those baby tales she told of pathways paved with gold I found in my mother's eyes.
Well, welcome back, everybody, to the second hour of tonight's live broadcast.
And for those of you who may have forgotten, Mother's Day is tomorrow. We're trying to let you know, make sure that you recognize the mother in your life.
Well, that's absolutely right. And as part of our own Mother's Day weekend festivities, I took my wife and kids up to a museum. Had a little one-day road trip and went up to a museum up near Kentucky Way, and it was a very good museum. If you get outside of the big cities and you find museums in smaller towns, in some small towns, even some very small towns, will have a local museum of some sorts, and you can find a museum that presents things in a way that we would agree with. Now, this,
in other words, they're not afflicted with political correctness,
as so many of the museums in the major cities are, of course. But we went to this museum, and it, as most museums do, it has a section on natural history and a section on earth science and things like that. And they had a couple of exhibits on Nathan Bedford Forrest there, very objective. I appreciated that. I had other exhibits that I'm always interested in, like what they call them Native Americans. We know them as American Indians. Or just Indians, if you prefer. And one of the things that they had there was a little bit of an exhibit on Hernando de Soto, which is, of course, a local legend. He made a little stop here on his expedition. And that piqued my interest on de Soto, seeing this exhibit. And so when I came home from the trip, I did a deep dive and spent a few hours reading different sources and different articles and parts of different books. Snippets here and there on de Soto. And I learned some things about de Soto that I didn't know before. Maybe, Keith, you wouldn't have heard this either. Now, I have shared before in this program that I've always been fascinated by the pre-Columbian cultures of Central and South America, the Aztecs, the Mayans, the Incas. And Francisco Pizarro was the conquistador who gets the credit for bringing down the Incan Empire. And, of course, there was a very famous incident where they captured the Incan chief Atahualpa. And we all have heard about that. Pizarro captured the chief, and they held him ransom, held him hostage, and ended up killing him, and took Cuzco, founded Lima.
Along with a lot of gold.
Well, who was the chief lieutenant? Who was the chief captain of Pizarro? None other than Hernando de Soto. So, in fact, de Soto was the one who captured the chief for Pizarro. I did not know that. And I learned some other things that... Well, we know that Hernando de Soto, when he landed in what is now the United States, he came in around the Tampa Bay, Port Charlotte area of Florida, and he had this meandering trek through his expedition that eventually ended up in the Memphis area. And we have the Hernando de Soto Bridge, which connects downtown Memphis to Arkansas.
And the first county in Mississippi, right on the state line, is DeSoto County, and the county seat is Hernando, Mississippi, and if you are fortunate enough to go there, go inside the courthouse and you will see a display of beautiful murals depicting various episodes in Hernando de Soto's trek through the southeast United States.
Well, I also learned, this is another thing interesting about that very expedition that we're talking about. And we're just going to do one segment on this. We're going to get back to current events and current news items. But I thought it was interesting to me, so I thought it might be interesting to you as well, ladies and gentlemen, that the very first Christmas that was ever celebrated by Europeans on this continent, you would think, what, maybe Jamestown, maybe Plymouth Rock, maybe something like that. No, it was DeSoto's men near Tallahassee, Florida in 1539. That was the first time Europeans ever celebrated Christmas on this land. I thought that was interesting. I'd never heard that before. And he had just defeated 200 of his conquistadors, defeated, according to reports, between 2,000 and 6,000 Indians in a battle. Now, imagine, you're outpacing them 10 to 1, maybe even 40 to 1. That's something. I mean, that is incredible, the odds. These people in a foreign land, I mean, think about just trekking through primeval Florida in the 1500s. The snakes, the bugs, the swamps, the alligators, the Indians, and then you're outnumbered like that in a foreign land with precious few supplies, and you're able to do that. And I saw that he camped at Tupelo, obviously not far from here.
And the Pontotoc Trail, which was an Indian trail from your ancestral homeland, Pontotoc County, Mississippi, and the city of Pontotoc, Mississippi, to Memphis. There's a guy I went to high school with whose father owned an apartment complex. It was apparently on the Pontotoc Trail, and there was a spring nearby, and he used to show me all these Indian arrowheads and things that they got from that location. So, you know, this whole area around Memphis is just, you
DeSoto know, DeSoto country.
Redolent, as they say, with DeSoto memories and memorabilia. There's a place on the Memphis Bluff down near the old Marine Hospital in what used to be called DeSoto Park, which is supposedly where DeSoto first viewed the Mississippi River, yeah. And it is a spectacular view from there.
It was the first group of Europeans to ever cross the Mississippi River. It said that he supposedly, they don't know exactly where he died, but one source says it was in Faraday, Louisiana, right there on
That's
the river.
Right, yeah, I thought Louisiana somewhere.
And another one said it was right across the river in Arkansas, but nevertheless, 4,000 miles he trekked in those 3 years before he died. He died at 42, so he was as old as I am now when he died, and he had taken down the Incan Empire by the time of his death, explored 4,000 miles of previously unknown land to Europeans, and wrote the record down of what he saw, and it obviously played a huge role in the further exploration of this land by our people to come. I mean, certainly that age of discovery, that age of exploration enamors me with that Faustian spirit as much as anything. I have said if I could go back to any historical moment, it would be Cortez and Montezuma on the causeway, that first contact in Mexico at Tenochtitlan. All of this stuff fascinates me because you've got to take your kids to do this stuff, to teach them about Davy Crockett and Nathan Bedford Forrest and Hernando de Soto and our people and our spirit and this spirit.
And another thing is we think of these people as being older, but as James has just discovered, he's the same age as Hernando de Soto when he died. That ought to give you a humbling response to think of what these people accomplished
In short lives.
I
mean, Davy Crockett was old when he died at the Alamo, and he was older than that. I mean, he was known as being very old, but he was in his 40s.
Yeah, right.
You know, so there's... anyway, we will come back. We'll get off of that. We've got... Is it the latest race hoax? Maybe. We'll tell you a little bit more about that and the latest on reparations.
Discovering white people where there are none.
The latest reparations.
Antelope Hill Publishing is America's leading publisher of dissident books, bringing you a wide variety of new translations and original works on every subject from the Spanish Civil War to the funding behind the transgender movement. Antelope Hill publishes books that mainstream publishers won't touch, full of information that challenges the political status quo and brings real culture to the reading public at an affordable price. If you count yourself as a political dissident, then you owe it to yourself to check out the Antelope Hill catalog with exclusive offerings like Rebel Mountain by Kurt Eggers, a brand new reprint of the infamous You Gentiles by Maurice Samuel, and now the treatise of a January 6th prisoner in the American regime. There is something there for everyone, and new titles are added every month. Check out the complete catalog today at antelopehillpublishing.com. That's antelopehillpublishing.com. I'm James Edwards, and I want you to check out antelopehillpublishing.com.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
One more thing about this topic we were covering a moment ago. Great day at the museum. Great day trip with my family. And do I teach my kids that men like Davy Crockett and Nathan Bedford Forrest and Hernando de Soto are our heroes? You better believe it. They were our heroes, and they still are our heroes, and they will always be our heroes, and no narrative will get in the way of that. Keith, you said something at supper, though, earlier tonight that I thought was interesting. It should be mentioned very quickly before we move off this topic, and that was when it came to their association with the Indians, whites were damned if they did, damned if they didn't, and damned if they might.
Yeah, exactly. You know, what were their options when they encountered these hostile Indians? They could either defeat them and kill them all, like the Bell Beaker people were killed by the invaders in the British Isles back in the day. The only reason we know that they existed is because some of the better-looking women they saved and mated with. Otherwise, they totally wiped them out. But if we did that, of course, it would be, you know, the worst thing that ever happened, although it's happened in so many places in the world. The other option is, let's suppose that we made the move, like the Trail of Tears. Well, if you make the move, the Trail of Tears is supposed to be an atrocity right up there with the Holocaust in the eyes of the left. And, of course, both, you know, you can ask them to move, you can defeat them and kill them, or you can just let them stay living there, and then if they tend to be second-class citizens because they don't have the talent to rise to the highest levels, then you're a white supremacist oppressor.
Do nothing, you're damned. Take them out, you're damned. Move them, you're damned. And that, but, you know, they certainly didn't show their own people the courtesies that we showed them. And that was another thing. When DeSoto was making that 4,000-mile trek, he would keep running in to these different tribes who would try to enlist the conquistadors to help them take out another tribe, because all of these squabbling tribes were always at war with one another. And that was something interesting that I read. And that was that goes back to Andrew Jackson, who said it was an absurdity to enter into all of these different treaties with all of these different Indian groups, because what you had there was thousands of different tribes, normally numbering in the hundreds of people, who, and some were bigger than that, of course, but just thousands of different tribes all at war with one another. They would rape, genocide, and enslave one another, wipe each other out if they could, and we were supposed to enter into treaties with each of these different sects. I mean, Jackson said that was an absurdity to enter into all of these treaties.
The Indians were not the dark-skinned Quakers, okay? They were bloodthirsty savages.
And so that certainly, I mean, there's a lot of different kinds of white people, but all white people are seen as monolithic today, so I get it. But in any event, I this was one thing I read when I was reading more about DeSoto after going to the museum. This is from the John Carter Brown Library at Brown University, and this is the kind of stuff you can only learn in the Ivy League schools, I guess. It says that Hernando de Soto's cruelty for torturing Native Americans was unmatched. His men would engage in amputation, burning, hanging, and attack by vicious war dogs during their expedition. And it has an illustration of DeSoto and his men just rounding up random Indians and cutting off arms and legs. And all of the anti-white libel, I've never heard that one before. They would just catch him and cut off a hand, cut off a leg, and let him roll.
The thing about the left is they really do believe in the big lie. If you're going to tell a lie, don't tell a little one, tell a big one, okay? they tend just about every atrocity that they have pointed to in history has been way overblown when it comes to what white people have done and very downplayed and regard to what non-whites have done.
And look, I'm not saying we were saints, but we didn't do anything that they weren't doing to each other and nothing that they wouldn't have done to us if they could have. Think if the Indians could have paddled their canoes over to Europe, they would have done the exact same thing to us?
Read what the Comanches and the Apaches and the Sioux did to white people.
All right, so we're talking about the DeSoto expedition, which happened, and of course, that was from 1539 to 1542. We played this a few weeks ago. We'll play it one more time. It's a minute, and then I promise we're moving on. But this is, again, from a movie, Bury My Heart at Wounded Knee, and it depicts a white cavalryman for the Union Army here in a sit-down with Sitting Bull himself. And this is a powerful scene.
Sitting Bull requested this council. We await his words.
Take your soldiers out of here. They scare the game away.
Very well, sir. Tell me then, how far away should I take my men?
You must take them out of our lands.
What precisely are your lands?
These are the lands where my people lived before you whites first came.
I don't understand. We whites were not your first enemies. Why don't you demand back the land in Minnesota where the Chippewa and others forced you from years before?
The Black Hills are sacred land given to my people by Wahantonka.
Not very convenient to cloak your claims in spiritualism. And what would you say to the Mormons and others who believe that their God has given to them Indian lands in the West?
I would say they should listen to Wahantonka.
No matter what your legends say, you didn't sprout from the plains like the spring grasses, and you didn't coalesce out of the ether. You came out of the Minnesota woodlands, armed to the teeth, and set upon your fellow man. You massacred the Kiowa, the Omaha, the Ponca, the Oto, and the Pawnee without mercy, and yet you claim the Black Hills as a private preserve bequeathed to you by the Great Spirit.
And who gave us the guns and powder to kill our enemies? And who traded weapons to the Chippewa and others who drove us from our home?
Chief Sitting Bull, the proposition that you were a peaceable people before the appearance of the white man is the most fanciful legend of all. You were killing each other for hundreds of moons before the first white stepped foot on this continent. You conquered those tribes, lusting for their game and their lands, just as we have now conquered you for no less noble a cause.
This is your story of my people.
This is the truth, not legend.
I mean, that's it. That is the definitive. That 1 minute and 55 second clip is the definitive end to any argument that we should have white guilt over what happened. I have zero white guilt over what happened. By the way, I posted that clip to Twitter a few weeks ago before I was banned, and it racked up 399,300 views. So 400,000 views, we got that out there. That's the reach we had there.
Maybe that's why they took you off.
Well, but in any event, I mean, can you argue with any of that?
No. See, what you have to do is you need to realize that we were just better at conquest than the Indians were. The Indians now don't have to emigrate as illegal aliens like people from South America and Central America do, or from Africa, or from the Middle East, to white nations. They're already here, and they have the benefit of living in a first world environment. Now, if they do nothing with that, if they just sit on the reservation and get drunk, we can't help that. But on the other hand, there are plenty of Indians that have taken advantage of their fortuitous circumstances by being in America and have done quite well for themselves. You have Indian tribes where they have casinos and oil reserves and things like this, and they're doing very well. But you never hear about that. And
we need our own reservation. I want an ethno state.
Yeah. Let me own a cut. let me start a casino.
I'll tell you what. Anyway, so that thing, of course, was Yeah, the Sitting Bull stuff was in the 1800s, but it was the problem for 300 years. So back to modern day times now. I found this story. I mean, this is just incredible. In the age of Jussie Smollett and the Duke lacrosse rape hoax, and there's just so many very big racial hoaxes, and then there's the garden variety racial hoaxes where some black pastor will paint something on his church, or a black student will put a noose
on
there.
Water buffalo incident.
I saw there was one. Somebody dropped some cotton balls outside on like the quad of a college,
The black guy they're trying to promote as a NASCAR driver said somebody put a noose on his garage door. No, that's the pull down that they typically use.
Well, he knew that, and then this whole cotton balls. Almost without exception, every time you hear something like this, it pans out to be a hoax. Not after the media has presented it as truth, of course.
As they say, they'll lie when the truth would sound better.
or as I prefer, a lie can make its way around the world before the truth can get its boots on.
Exactly.
Now, look, I don't know what happened here. I don't know if some of it happened and it was exaggerated.
Or
if it's all fabricated. All I know for sure is there was an allegation and no evidence of it. No video evidence, no audio evidence, not even any picture evidence, no photographic evidence. But the situation at hand took place at a Texas Roadhouse. This is a chain steakhouse that stretches from Texas all the way up apparently to Cincinnati, because that's where this one took place. And I'll tell you all about it. You're not going to believe it. Don't Google it during the break. Let me tell you. You can read more about it later. Texas Roadhouse server has claimed a wild accusation of racism. He had to go out to the dumpster behind the restaurant to cry. He cried. That's how bad it was.
Thought about going to a dumpster?
Exposing
when
corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Jerry Barmesh. It could be more than a decade before some migrants face a judge.
Some migrants who cross the border seeking asylum have been given court dates in the next decade. Migrants who crossed into Texas were given court dates in Chicago and Florida in the years 2032 and 2035. However, since they have been admitted to the U.S. and given court dates, they can now get work permits and stay in the U.S. until their dates come up in court. I'm John Schaefer.
President Biden is noting progress in the debt ceiling negotiations. Although he said there are real discussions about a deal, Biden added, quote, "We're not there yet." Biden's remarks come as staffers continue weekend talks aimed at breaking the stalemate with GOP leaders. The governor of North Carolina is formally rejecting a GOP-backed abortion bill.
This bill has nothing to do with making women safer and everything to do with banning abortion.
Hundreds of abortion rights activists applauded in Raleigh today as Democratic Governor Roy Cooper placed his veto stamp to the legislation known as Senate Bill 20. The measure would lower the windows for abortions in the state from 20 weeks to 12 and add other restrictions as well. At least one person is dead after a tornado left widespread damage in the community of Laguna Heights, Texas. KVEO-TV reports the storm hit the area near Brownsville at about 4 o'clock this morning. Along with one death, a number of other injuries were being reported. Emergency crews were going door to door to check for possible victims. General Motors is recalling nearly a million vehicles due to faulty airbags. The recall includes the Buick Enclave, Chevrolet Traverse, and GMC Acadia vehicles from 2014 through 2017 with airbags produced by ARC Automotive. GMC says drivers can have the airbag replaced for free. This is USA News.
Greece is cheap.
But the airfare costs a fortune.
Paris?
Not much closer, and again, airfare...
What about Puerto Vallarta?
Let's face it, flying anywhere is just too expensive.
Wait, what's this? Low-cost airlines.
With one call to low-cost airlines, you'll drastically slash your travel costs. We're talking insanely low airline prices to any of your favorite destinations. Where would you like to go? London, Rome, Costa Rica, Australia?
Wow, that's cheap.
So why wait? Call now to learn how crazy cheap it is to fly anywhere in the U.S. or international. Our prices are so low, we can't publish them. The only way to get them is to call to instantly hear the most amazing best deals on airline airline travel. It's that easy. So call now and start packing.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
All right, so we've teased it long enough. Texas Roadhouse, is it a race hoax? Did it happen? Well, you be the judge. Here's the story. Out of the Cincinnati Inquirer, and the story goes that a group of 11 diners came into the restaurant, and they were apparently all dressed as Confederate flags. They had a baby with them who was also a Confederate flag.
What, a diaper?
They were all, just all wearing Confederate flags. It doesn't really go into detail, but they all had the Confederate flag on their body in some shape, form, or fashion, apparently. And that throughout the entire dinner, they repeatedly used racial slurs.
In fact, they said nothing but the N-word, supposedly, according to this guy. That must have been an interesting conversation. A baby with a Confederate flag diaper and adults saying the N-word endlessly to one another.
Presumably, they had to say something other than that because they ordered food, but maybe they just pointed to what they want. And
I want that N-word hamburger. I want that N-word french fries.
So, let's see. Well, it says one was wearing a Confederate flag sweatshirt. Some were wearing Confederate flag jackets, Confederate flag onesie for the baby. And the server said it felt like he wasn't even a person. And actually, you know, Keith, you would assume, as I did, that they were using the dreaded word that only blacks can call one another.
The words that white people are not allowed to say,
but it doesn't actually say it in this article. Now it says they use racial slurs, but the one that they mentioned is that they called the server boy. Now again, we'll take the guy's word for it. He was angry. He says he was angry and shaking as he put the table's order into the computer, and he said he had to step outside to regain his composure and replay in his mind what had happened. But that's when he started to break down. Now this is a grown man we're talking about here. And he said that he just went over to the dumpster and cried because now, it felt like he wasn't even a person. Now, it doesn't actually say what they called him, except for boy. But
would it ever occur to you to go to a dumpster if you needed a good cry, James?
You're a grown man. Now, I have been called everybody but a child of God by the entire national and most global news agencies. I've never cried about it. But supposedly this happened and he had to go out and cry. And of course he had to let people know about it. But here's the thing. There's no evidence of it. Everybody's got a cell phone now. One of his coworkers at the restaurant went to TikTok and talked about it, but she didn't have the time to actually document any of this that I've seen. So there's no evidence, no pictorial evidence, no,
not very
audio
smart
evidence, no video evidence, but it made a national news story because, again, just the allegation alone can make that national news story and probably make this guy a lot of money. Texas Roadhouse will probably give him a very nice package.
Like Fox settling out with Dominion about the voting machines.
Well, I'm just saying we've seen these things like this turn out to be hoaxes in excess of 90% of the time. They have no evidence. It's a national news story. It's being reported as a fact, but there's no evidence. Now, Texas Roadhouse said that they were going to provide this guy with a professional therapist, but he declined the offer because he wants to choose his own therapist who's more culturally aligned with him. Now, again, we're talking about a grown man here. You can't, if it even happened at all, which I am very skeptical of, you can't handle being called a name. You're going to cry. You're going to get a therapist. You're a grown man.
That
is something wrong with this guy.
They say he was saying there was just a generalized conversation.
And if he's lying about it, which, again, I don't know in this case, but I just know how most of them turn out.
Wouldn't it be nice if we found a company that said, like Algonquin J. Calhoun said on the old Amos and Andy show, I not only deny the allegations, I resent the alligator. And we're not going to pay you a red cent Don't let the door hit you in the ass when you leave.
It says here, it's bad enough that everybody at work had to see me crying. Pretty much the whole country knows about it now. Well, but he's giving interviews about it. Anyway.
Yeah, where is the selfie? Where is the tape? Where are the photographs of all of this? You know, I guarantee you if a group of people came in with Confederate flag motif things on from head to toe, somebody would have taken a selfie of that.
And
particularly a black staff member, and this guy was a black staff member.
And so was the one who originally put it on TikTok, which led to the national story. And this guy said, I want you to know that what I went through was real. It took me a while to get my head wrapped around it when I was standing out back by the dumpsters, but, you know, it happened. So, I was talking to a friend in Texas, a friend in the Dallas area about this, and he said if it actually had been a group of our people, the black server would have been treated better than usual. He would have gotten at least a 20% tip. So it's probably a hoax, no evidence. We've gotten into this USSR lie territory now where they report on how great things are and people can look outside and see the bread lines. But this, I mean, they will tell you anything now. A non-white is a white supremacist. Five black cops killing a black guy is white supremacy. Killing a black guy is white supremacy. This thing.
We also have Potemkin villages now, you know, where Potemkin on the railway put up facades of new buildings so that they could brag to the commissars about how much progress they were making in, improving the life of the normal Russian peasant, when actually it was all a fraud. The same type of thing happens. You hear it on the daily news about all these new charities and new efforts to help raise black people, you know, that have been held down for so long. And none of it ever amounts to a hill of beans. Nobody comes back in 6 months and says, well, what did this group actually do? Because the answer is invariably they didn't do anything except take people's money and run like a bandit.
Now, this guy may want to move to California because that's where it looks like they're going to try to pay blacks up to $1.2 million in reparations now. And did you read the article about how this is going to be fleshed out?
No, tell me.
Listen to this. So this is in the San Francisco area, of course, in California. They've settled on a cap of $1.2 million in reparations payments. You don't just get it in a lump sum. It's tiered. And I read this and I couldn't believe it. I mean, this is where we're at now in this godforsaken country. Or this, not a godforsaken country, a country that has forsaken God. But this is it. If you didn't get a loan, if you're black and you didn't get the loan you wanted from a bank, you're entitled to a payout of up to a couple $100,000. It says now, if you have experienced over policing, you can get paid for each instance of that and for how many ever years it took place. So. Basically, you can look and say, yep, that box, I'll check that box. That happened 5 times. That happened 17 times. That happened this number of years. And each one comes with a payout amount. Over-policing, each incident comes with a payout amount. Each time you were denied a loan, you get a payout amount. And it can add up to $1.2 million.
Well, see, you know, why do they even bother? Because $1.2 million, that ain't going to satisfy them. I tell you, it's like Jared Taylor said, once you pay the Dane Geld, you always have to pay the Dane Geld. You start paying reparations, it will never be satisfactory. It will always be inadequate. You're going to have to continue paying forever. The thing about white racism and claims of white racism and reparations for those things, you never, ever, if you had a credit card that never ran out of money, would you give that credit card up?
That's it. Well, and you know,
black people are not, you know, you start this and you have opened Pandora's box.
Yeah. If all of the set asides and quotas and scholarships and advancements that weren't earned based on merit, if none of that's enough, why is $1.2 million all of a sudden going
to
be the magic number?
In fact, what they need to do when the Supreme Court strikes down affirmative action, as is expected to happen, I'm going to be the first in line to make my claim for reparations for a career that was stultified.
I tell you what, the white residents of Atlanta and other, Chicago and other places deserve reparations for what this group of people have destroyed the cities and the living conditions. But Memphis thought this was a good idea. The majority black Memphis city government thought this was a great idea that San Francisco had. They want they want payouts, but they could, they didn't even have enough money to fund the study.
No, they're paying it all out to cronies for spurious jobs with the government. Basically, if you have a city government that votes for this, that is proof positive that the state needs to revoke the city's charter and govern the place out of the state capital, because the people there are incapable of having the, adult reasoning necessary to run any type of government. They've proven to be, it's basically a romper room, a kindergarten class pretending to be a government.
Anyway, so this is where we're at. This is where we're at this evening, and I'm sure next week will be equally absurd.
People, using OPM, other people's money, and spending it, and, what do they always do? They always turn to the state government with their hands out for more money.
We'll be right back.
And they spend it like this.
We'll be right back.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs. While you're waiting, drop by our Confederate Corner for a free cup of coffee and good conversation. Remember, there are no strangers here, just friends who haven't met yet. Dixie Republic, we're not just a roadside attraction, we're a destination for our people. For more information, visit DixieRepublic.com.
In message 1, we said that Satan, the father of lies, John 8:44, gave the left evil, spiritual power the more they used the lies. The political left today is the beast. Now the Bible confirms that the dragon gave him, the beast, his power. Revelation 13:2. The extra evil spiritual power that comes from the beast by their lying is what accounts for the string of the leftist criminals in the government that have never yet been prosecuted. It also explains why American capitalists support communism in the 21st century. Note 1, that behavior of capitalists was predicted by Vladimir Lenin, a cell of the beast. Note 2, Henry Ford was a capitalist, and he would have never gone communist. The difference between Ford and the present-day end-time capitalists is that Ford was born and educated in the Kingdom of Christ, 19th century America, the New Jerusalem, Revelation 21.
M is for the million things she gave me. O means only that she's growing old. T is for the tear she shed to save me. H is for her heart of purest gold. E is for her eyes with love light shine. Right and right she'll always be. Put them all together, they spell Father. A word that means the world to me.
Welcome back, everybody. A quick announcement here before we continue on with the third and final hour here in just a few moments of the... Our book that was released on April 1st to kick off last month's special series, Confederate History Month, we can't keep them in stock. We ordered a box. The box was accounted for before it even arrived. We finally got all of those books out. So a lot of books are in the various
in the process
of being delivered. Yes, and we've got more coming in. So please continue to support this program, and if you can. It helps us the most if you can get an autographed copy of The Honorable Cause of Free South. When the book came out, it immediately charted at number 19 on Amazon in the nationalism category. And typically what happens, I mean, it's the same way that happens with movies. When movies are released, their peak weeks or the opening weekend of the next week or two, and then it starts to sort of dissipate. Well, as of yesterday, or I believe it was 2 days ago, I was out of town yesterday. We went up to the museum, but 2 days ago I checked and we were at number 11. And so it actually has increased after a month and a half. That is very uncommon. There's definitely an appetite out there for this book. And we are continuing to fill orders, and we would love to fill yours if you've not yet gotten it. Keith, I want to go to the mailbag, though, if I could, and just read a couple of letters that have come in. About the book and about the show in general. This comes from Tori in Maryland, and she writes, Dear James, congratulations. Here's to your recognition from those with political power and influence. They realize yet again who they're dealing with. That was actually in response. Getting congratulations letters for being blown off of Twitter. And so thank you, Tori. And she bought the book, and I was happy to send her a copy here a couple of days ago. That's on its way. And this comes from a listener in West Virginia. Dear James, greetings from the hills of West Virginia. Just received your email concerning your latest book. Please send me this book now. And it's in all capital letters with 4 exclamation points. 1, 2, 3, 4. I wanted to do something to honor our Confederate ancestors and preserve the memory of their sacrifice. What better way to do it than to order this new book and to support your unreconstructed broadcast? He goes on to talk about how much he enjoyed our Easter special a few weeks ago with Michael Hill and Pastor Brett McAtee. He says that he and his wife listened to all 3 hours at one sitting. And he wishes us, Keith, both you and I, thanks for our many years of dedicated service and prayers and best wishes for future endeavors. Here, that's from Maryland and West Virginia. Here is one from a listener in North Carolina. Dear TPC, hope this finds you and each of your families doing well. I already purchased a copy of the book, The Honorable Cause, but I would love to have an autographed copy too. And he goes on and talks a little bit about his background and what he does. And he writes that he sends us thoughts, love, and prayers for us and our beloved South and in our people, and he asked that God leads, guides, and protects us and blesses each of us. And that's from a listener in North Carolina. And then lastly, a listener in Arizona here writing. This is just this latest few days mailbag. Hi, Keith and James. Heard about your ban on Twitter. I never joined Twitter because I didn't see the point. I don't have enough time in the day as it is. That said, TPC is an invaluable voice for our people. I never miss a show. I listen to you and Keith for humor, truth, and inspiration. I'll miss Tucker Carlson, though he wouldn't name names. He did expose many of the purposeful efforts to exterminate white Christians without stating the true intent. TPC doesn't hold back or sugarcoat any issue. I agree that there is an orchestrated attempt to silence the voices of our people. I hope that they fail. And this is actually a monthly contributor who says he will be upping his monthly amount because folks are back. You know, it did get pushed a little bit further up against the wall. He says, I can't imagine shutting down you and Keith. That would be devastating for me personally and for our people. Fight on, brother. And we will, with listeners like, listen, this is just 4 off the top of the mailbag. You heard from Arizona, West Virginia, Maryland, and North Carolina. It's a widespread audience. And that's something about the book that I've been so pleased to see. I mean, obviously, we have a huge, you know, audience here in the American South.
It's
but
a shame
it's not just there.
It's a shame things have gotten to this point where really secession seems to be the only alternative for our continued survival as a people. But on the other hand, you know, they've taken down our statues, they've taken down our flags, they've taken down and they're trying to destroy all memory of our ancestors, and that shows me just how important it is that we preserve all of those things. get those statues into a safe place, like we've done here with Nathan Bedford Forrest statue in Tennessee, and continue to tell your children the old stories about the fortitude and the intelligence and the bravery of our ancestors in coming here in the first place and then thriving and then fighting the Union Army for and Abraham Lincoln for our independence. This is a really, you know, a sterling, what would you call it, a history for any people. You know, we've done everything that we could, and it's time now that, you know, we've tried reconciliation, but reconciliation isn't working. They're coming back stronger than ever, trying to destroy us, and we're not going to sit down and take it.
And a lot of people identify as Southerners, whether or not they have roots here. And, of course, this book has been well-reviewed around the world. Remy Tremblay for his French-Canadian Journal. Sasha Rossmuller for the German magazine, Deutsche Stimme. Also, Tom Sunich for the Occidental Observer. Now, that's an American publication, but Tom, of course, is a Croatian. And it has two new reviews since last week. It was reviewed by Clyde Wilson for the Abbeville Institute. Clyde Wilson, of course, the distinguished professor emeritus of history at the University of South Carolina.
And the father of Ann Wilson.
That's right. That's exactly right. He was a contributor to the book. So it might not surprise you that he wrote a good review. Roger Devlin wrote a very fair review at Amren that I enjoyed. I didn't know that actually Roger had been commissioned to write that review, but Roger emailed me a couple of days before it was released, and I expected it and anticipated it, and want to thank Jared for putting that up there.
And we weren't disappointed. Roger comes
well,
through again.
Roger's the best, and he will be talking to Roger. Actually, we're so booked up on this show, I only booked one guest tonight because we had so much news to sort through after, again, the 2 months of special programming, but we're actually booked out right now, at least through June 17th, and Roger Devlin will be appearing on that June 17th broadcast. That's how far out we're booking guests right now. But Devlin wrote a good article. And listen, I mean, it was a fair and objective article. He asked some questions and had some comments about certain aspects of the book. Remember, this book isn't a monolithic effort either. This was written by 12 different authors. It's a compilation. And none of the contributors knew what the others were writing. And I think it came together very well. But Roger, you know, touched on something that I noticed. And that was the contribution of our friend Neil Kumar, who was on with us just as recently as a couple of weeks ago for Confederate History Month. Neil saying, hey, you know, very stridently, white Southerners don't need other people from outside of the South. And to that I say, well, I get the spirit of that. I mean, listen, I mean, I have more in common, you know, across the board with pro-white Southerners whose roots in the American South stretch back 200 years or more, because that's who I am, Christian, pro-white, pro-South, pro-Christian. But, you know, I think let's not be hasty here. We're looking at the support this book is getting from around the country and around the world. And this program has always received a similar support. Even though we're, you know, obviously very heavy on the pro-South stuff, especially in April, but throughout the year.
That shows there's a lot of empathy for the Southern cause outside of the South.
That's the thing, Keith. I mean, you can take native-born Southerners who have sold out on their patrimony and have betrayed their ancestors, like so many in the Southern Baptist Convention, for instance. No, I don't have common ground with those people. I mean, I do in terms of we have the same background, but we have nothing in common spiritually and mentally. And I'll take a guy like our friend who never misses a show, Rick in South Brooklyn. This is a native New Yorker who has moved down to the South. And this is a guy who is with us on everything, including the South, but absolutely everything. I'll take Rick in South Brooklyn over a lot of native-born Southerners, and I don't have any problem saying that. I mean, yeah, in a perfect world, your roots go back to...
We have another New York friend, Mr. Confederate Man.
That's right. Well, so this is the thing. We need whites of like mind around the world. We can't fight these petties. And by the way, when America balkanizes again, it's not going to be North versus South. It's not even going to be just the South. We've talked about this. It's going to be Mountain West. It's going to be some areas of the Pacific Northwest.
A spiritual divide.
And it's not even going to be states, Keith. This is the thing now. At this point, it's going to be rural versus urban. I mean, Memphis and Atlanta and Birmingham, the rural South is totally different than the urban South. And so it's not even going to be just states versus states. It's going to be town versus town. It's going to be a whole new different thing.
Well, what a lot of the news that you've heard on this show tonight shows you, the basic divide is spiritual. Some people are spiritually in our corner, and there are other people that should be spiritually in our corner that are not. And I want that spirituality to be the touchstone, the North Star for determining what our nation is. We need people that think like us, not that just look like us. We need to get people here in the South that understand that what the South stands for is different from what other parts of the nation, particularly New England, were thinking back in the time of the founding of the nation. And, you know, it's incredible. It's stretched on to today. Now, you know, that divide that existed when the nation was founded is still alive and well today.
More than ever before. I mean, we're divided down in ways we've never been divided before, because that's what you get with the multiracial, multicultural, polyglot nation. That's what Rebecca Dillingham writes in the book. Anyway, support the program. Get the book. We've got a pivotal second quarter fundraising drive coming up at the start of June. This is a big one. I mean, we've had some issues with inflation and rising costs and losing Twitter. This is we need all hands on deck right now. We'll be back. Stay tuned.